A Story Publishing presents Run Now. The morning sun barely cast a shadow through the tinted windows of Tech Haven, the small shop tucked into one of Talon's crooked side streets. To the untrained eye, it was just another computer repair shop in a city still trying to heal its Soviet wounds with digital band-aids. But it was Sam Rivers' sanctuary in a world that often felt like a borderless cage. Sam wasn't the picture of a man living a double life. He greeted customers with a warm smile and knew more about their grandchildren than some of them did. That's how he worked. Every interaction was genuine, even if he was sometimes playing a part. His co-workers, a ragtag group of tech aficionados, respected Sam. They admired his gift for fixing what others had given up on. They knew nothing of encrypted messages and the dark art of misdirection that danced behind his courteous facade. The shop itself was a museum of tech relics. Stacks of disassembled hard drives lined the counter, competing for space with dusty motherboards and the occasional coffee mug forgotten amid the rote chaos of repairs. Posters of classic sci-fi films adorned the walls, faded from years of Baltic winters. "Hey, Sam!" cried Mikhail, the eager young tech who still thought hacking should come with a superhero cape. "This guy says his PC is as dead as last winter. Think you've got the magic touch?" Sam nodded and took the laptop, glancing at the man who had brought it in. The customer was a regular, nervous about paying too much, yet well-intentioned. As he fiddled with the laptop, Sam's gaze flicked to the street outside. A man lingered a bit too long near a newsstand, flipping through the same dog-eared magazine page after page. Sam's heart skipped, but he kept his cool. Nothing was out of place. Yet. He returned the laptop in an hour, diagnosing the issue as a simple virus and managing to save most of the man's files. The customer left happier and lighter, proving yet again that Sam succeeded where others couldn't. Afternoon clouds rolled in, fat and dark. The shop was dimmer than before, the shadows stretching like gray fingers across the cracked linoleum. Sam felt their chill. As he worked, his phone vibrated softly in his pocket. It was the kind of alert you ignored at your peril, the kind coded in secrecy, accessible only through backdoor channels of clandestine apps. His heart rate ticked up a notch as he discreetly checked the message. Run. Now. Two words that could topple governments, ruin lives. Sam felt the scaffold of his carefully constructed dual existence quiver. He set the phone back down, the unease hidden behind a mask of practiced indifference. The shop door creaked open, a spray of cold air following an elderly man wrapped up in layers of nostalgia and knitwear. Sam welcomed him with just the sort of small talk that buttered the soul and oiled wheels of familiarity. "Good to see you, Mr. Peterson. We got that software update in for your daughter's laptop." The old man shuffled over to the counter, gratitude in his eyes. "You always take care of me, Sam."
"Couldn't find a better chap in all of Tallinn."
Sam chuckled lightly, though his mind wasn't on the niceties exchanged. He was mapping out his exit plan. Mental steps he'd memorized but never wanted to use. Mr. Peterson left shortly after, the bell on the door jingling his farewell. With the shop empty, Sam locked the door and turned the open sign to closed. The others were used to him working late, he often leaving him alone to close up. As he set the shop to rights, Sam couldn't help but marvel at the everyday life he might soon have to shed like an old skin. He skimmed through potential reasons for leaving this life behind so abruptly. A death in the family, a new job elsewhere. Lies dressed in kindness. He powered down the computers and grabbed his worn leather satchel, pausing at the threshold to glance back at the cluttered sanctum he called a workplace. He didn't want to leave, but instincts screamed otherwise. And so Sam stepped out into the tight grip of an autumn evening, knowing the choice wasn't truly his to make. With each step through the cobbled streets, the weight of that ominous message hung heavier in the Baltic air. Sam's practiced calm unfurled like a veil, shielding a heart that hammered out a litany of regret and readiness in equal measure.
As the familiar streets wrapped around him like a bittersweet embrace, he recalled the faces he might never see again. Faces that had trusted him. Faces he, in turn, trusted. How much of that would crumble if they knew the truths hidden in the shadows? Somewhere in the latticework of Talon's aged avenues, Sam's other world beckoned, a world as intricate and unforgiving as the city's own past. Tonight, he'd be forced to reconcile the two with a swiftness that would test the endurance of both. As the streetlights flickered to life, casting the sidewalks in pools of gold, Sam slid into the night, where identities bled into one another like ink in rain. And the ghosts of choices past smiled, knowing Sam's journey was just beginning. Sam barely glanced at the blinking "Don't Walk" sign before breaking into a run, his footsteps echoing off the cobblestones. The city was closing in on him, a maze that had once been familiar, but now felt hostile. His mind reeled with possibilities, each more dire than the last. He wasn't facing some neighborhood gossip gone haywire. This was his life, peeled raw and vulnerable. That message. Those two words had shredded the fabric of his carefully constructed world, leaving him grasping at threads to keep unraveling from what lay beneath. His breath came in uneven gasps, pluming white in the cold air. An ache gnawed at his ribs, but he pushed harder, weaving through the skeletal remains of the city's alleyways. He was a rat racing through the guts of Talon, hoping to find sanctuary before the hunt closed in. The day had begun like countless others. Now, it barreled toward a night pregnant with the unknown. It was the kind of irony worthy of a Greek tragedy if you had time to find humor in it. But you don't when you're trying to outrun demons. He reached a main road and flagged down a taxi, slumping into the back seat like a marionette with its strings cut. "Just drive," he urged the driver, slipping a handful of euros across the partition, hoping silence was as purchasable as gas. Beneath the hood of his jacket, Sam scanned the cityscape, each building a potential hideaway or a snare, depending on who got there first. Betrayal had a way of transforming even the familiar into uncharted territory. He couldn't go home, not directly. He'd double back, take a circuitous route to deter any tales, and then assess. His heart had its own staccato tempo, a constant reminder that somewhere among the people he served, Pacino's two in passing or fixed malware for, was someone who wanted him gone. The taxi bounced over worn roads, each jolt sending his thoughts skittering to new possibilities, escape plans, backup caches, contacts who might still be undiscovered. It was an old game, treaded tires on soft terrain, but adrenaline made it new. "Here, stop here," he told the driver, sliding out into the night. Talon wasn't Prague, where secrets whispered under bridges. It wasn't Moscow, where shadows wore more layers than the people. But its history was thick with espionage, and like a dormant volcano, it could erupt at any time. Tonight felt like magma meeting air. Two blocks over, he leaned against a lamppost, the chill sinking deeper into his bones. Sam willed his pulse to settle, taking deep breaths as he watched his apartment building from a distance, focusing past the tremors in his vision. And that's when he saw them, figures moving like phantoms through his front door. The streetlights cast elongated shadows, giving them a nightmarish quality, intruders in his life's work as much as in the physical space. Sam's stomach twisted. He had hoped that message was paranoia, a false alarm. But seeing those figures with flashlights cutting through his sanctum of safety dashed any lingering doubts. His throat closed briefly, images of Mikhail and Mr. Peterson flashing in his mind. He'd sheltered them from the mire of espionage in which he lived. Could they be dragged into this now, unwitting players on a chessboard they didn't know existed? Those invaders, likely pawns of a larger scheme, moved with purpose, no doubt dismantling the carefully laid trails that crisscrossed in his wake. His cover wasn't just blown, it was cremated. Sam clung to that thought. At least they wouldn't find much left behind, traces burnt clean by necessity. But still, the grief of lost normalcy, the charred vestiges of a life, pulled at him. He turned away softly, a breeze flipping collar and cuffs, but no air could cool the fire now kindled in his chest. He had to move, striking out for a future yet unformed. Tonight, he'd be neither hunter nor prey, but a ghost. His feet hit the ground, pushing past fatigue into the salvation of movement. As Sam weaved through back alleys, disappears. Permanent by the void of abandonment, he longed for the momentary calm before his heart hammered liquid metal. He knew one thing. He'd find those unexpected flickers of kindness still possible in a world that had shifted to darkened shades of gray. The night swallowed him, a shadow among shadows, as he vanished into its relentless embrace. And with each stride, the past and its phantoms receded, leaving him only with the future and the heavy breath that it might hold the flicker of redemption. The city lights faded into a blur behind him as Sam wound his way through the misty backroads that cut through the Estonian countryside. Every crunch of gravel under the tires seemed loud enough to signal his presence to anyone listening. Paranoia had a way of weaponizing silence, turning every whisper of wind into a shadow's promise of pursuit. He reached the edge of an old forest, the trees standing as sentinels in the night. It wasn't civilization, but there was solace in the anonymity of nature. Sam pulled over, taking a moment to breathe, to think. His mind circled on one person, Lori, a former customer and friend who lived nearby. A man who'd once swapped stories over coffee cups and wired money over dusty counters without asking too many questions. Sam could trust him, or hoped he could. The walk to Lori's farmhouse twisted through dense brush and unsettling quiet. Sam knocked softly at the back door and waited, footsteps growing slow and uncertain until Lori opened up, a question hanging unasked between them. "Sam, what brings you here at this hour?" Lori squinted through sleep's haze. It's complicated. He rubbed his brow, feeling the weight of his own exhaustion. I need a place to stay for a day, maybe two. I don't know how to say more than that, just something's gone wrong back in the city. Lori didn't flinch. He'd seen humanity's darker side and its kindness in the years of running a small business, moving through life honestly in a world that rarely rewarded such earnestness. Come inside. We'll figure it out. Sam stepped over the dusty threshold into the warmth of Lori's kitchen. The smell of wood smoke and old books curled around like an embrace, and in that moment, the world's chaos stilled. Despite their lack of familiarity, Lori's welcome was a reminder. People could still surprise you, even when surprises had long ceased to be comforting. They spent some time in silence, Lori preparing coffee, Sam tracing the familiar lines of jagged moonlight spilling across the floor, words of thanks stuck in his throat. Finally, Sam spoke. I didn't want this to involve you, but... Don't worry about it, Lori replied, setting steaming mugs down. He paused, considering his next words. But you know, Sam, whatever you're hiding from, you're half the morning headline now. Sam stared, every nerve alive, hoping expression could outstrip words, but Lori nodded before Sam could form a lie. I'm in deeper than anyone should be, Lori. I'd hoped the price wouldn't reach out to friends. If this is about one of those get-rich-quick schemes you always insist are beyond you, I'll need to hear the punchline. Sam's laughter was a brittle thing. If only. It's much worse. It's not just people after me, it's people who know the color of your car from a satellite image. The faint humor slipped away. The door creaked as gusts from outside passed through. So stop circling, Sam. Tell me what you're up against. And so Sam did. He didn't manage to disassemble the whole story, but instead, he left bits out that could still build a clearer picture, even as Lori's expression solidified from curiosity to concern. When quiet fell between them again, the world beyond shifted, altered irretrievably by Sam's admissions. He watched Lori's eyes dart across his face, maybe searching for the man he'd trusted with family laptops now slipping into another light. Should have known you were a heck of a lot more than a geek squad, Lori said finally. They're coming for this geek, Sam admitted. I can't drag you into this more than I already have. Then you need all the help you can get. Lori's voice was steady, unwavering, and it was an offer Sam had never expected to be genuine, to find fidelity in fear's open wound. The morning dawned with little fanfare, fogs lifting away to unveil daylight's clarity, but they weren't blind to danger still watching. Sam and Lori stood poring over maps, tracing routes like children planning mischief, when the tranquility shattered with Lori's phone. Vibrating across the table. The caller ID was private. They stared at it like it might strike. Lori declined, tossing a glance toward Sam, who'd gone rigid, senses acute. Paranoia made every hair stand at full attention, every sound amplified, each shadow malicious. It's in their nature to hunt, Sam murmured. Who? Those who see only lines and assignments where we see lives. They barely had time to brace when Lori's window cracked and shattered in an explosion of glass. Voices pierced the air, sharp, tearing at pieces fabric as men closed in. Back door, Sam snapped, moving instinctively, pulling Lori with him. As they fled, Sam saw the familiar, cool professionalism in their pursuit. Men bred on shadow wars. It was only because they hadn't entirely anticipated resistance that Sam and Lori weren't grabbed right there. They sprinted through the trees, unbroken beams of sunlight marking their path. The landscape grew wilder, offering obscuring branches and trails mostly gone to time. Sam knew these woods by old explorations, flights of fancy in moments that didn't threaten to consume him. From behind came thumps and crackling leaves, sparks cutting through. Those professional shadows were on their heels. Every racing heartbeat offered only seconds ahead. It's just up here, Sam urged, as if willing it true. Curving along a deeper deer trail, the ground sloped downward. Not far, the water's edge, where the very geography defied expectation. But with each keening breath and every labored stride ahead, Sam saw the sanctuary, a bunker, half erased from memory's hold, rushing to meet its fate, lines etched with that same hope he dared stake all upon. As they plunged through the underbrush, Lori at his side, Sam resolved toward whatever came. This facade would end here, beneath the witness of this earth, this ancient, sheltering earth. The past wouldn't spare the truths unkind it harbored, but the future could not damnedly hold him penned without salvation gleaned now on the run. In that instant of meeting ground sincere, he felt Lori's hand in his, anchoring them through desperation. Sam knew then one chapter of their conflict just chose its timing, already slaking thirst in prospects better intended. Sam and Lori stumbled through the dense forest, underbrush snagging at their clothes as though trying to hold them back. The farmhouse was now a distant memory, a fire that had sparked their resolve. Sam felt a weight lift from him, the momentary refuge replacing anxiety with determination. When they finally stopped to catch their breath, Lori looked at Sam, eyes sharp in the moonlight. Who are these people, Sam? Why are you really running? Sam hesitated, the truth a bitter stone in his throat. You ever do the wrong thing for the right reasons, Lori? That's my life in a nutshell. I worked with the CIA once. Only now it's their rogue operatives wanting me gone. Lori considered this, nodding slowly, the resolve crystallizing. That explains the unwelcome guests. My guess, Sam continued. Someone on the inside setting me up, feeding intel to the other side. Lori ran a hand through his hair, scanning the horizon. What's the plan, Sam? We can't keep running blind. We need leverage, a chip to bargain with, or some tyrant skeleton key. There's a safe house nearby where we might get some intel. I just hope no one played Judas in setting that up. They made their way cautiously toward the old barn they'd repurposed years ago.
A relic from simpler times, the barn held secrets beneath its weathered boards.
It may once have cradled grain and hay, but now it stored encrypted files and equipment hidden from those better not privy. Sam led Lori to a hidden hatch, opening it to reveal a small cache of devices. They hunkered in the dim light, cobbling together a system to decrypt a stash of data that might offer clarity. As they worked, the silence was foreboding,
a siren song on the breeze. Lori leaned in, breaking the quiet.
You think this will lead us to whoever's after you?
Hope so, Sam replied, fingers working deftly, his eyes scanning the rapidly filling screen.
This should tell us who's been playing God over at the agency.
The data scrolls, flickers of coded truth, drew their eyes.
What they found was as unsettling as expected. Pings from secure servers,
a mix of communiques suggesting infiltration deep into CIA lines. A name cropped up repeatedly, someone too high for comfort.
The revelation came as daylight edged in, their gazes meeting in a newfound alliance rich with fear and resolve.
We've got to move, Sam instructed. We can't sit on this.
As they packed up, break time point threes, shadows moved outside, a prelude to an invasion. They had little time before hired men would sweep through, stealing away their hard-won quarry.
Lori tensed.
Looks like our tails have tails. Sam gripped his shoulder.
Stick with me. We stand a chance yet.
Through the barn's gaps, break time point threats, they spotted the edge of danger creeping in, figures slipping between trees, calculating, relentless. Sam grabbed a heavy beam, urging Lori to help brace the door.
It won't hold them long, but we need every second.
Footsteps neared. Sam's heartbeat was steady now, nerves honed to survival's refrain. As he let the adrenaline solider his mind, break time three, an idea struck. Not cleverness nor desperation, but the devil's simplicity. When they break through, we lead them away. We can't let them find what we've got.
Lori nodded, a smile touching one corner of his mouth.
You always were full of surprises, break time three, Sam Rivers.
The door splintered under siege.
Figures poured in like tide over stone, break time point three forcing Sam and Lori to fight from the shadows, using the chaos as their cover. They bolted for the trees when an explosive charge blew them from shelter's promise. It was a fury and a hail of reckoning, tin and leather shrinking from flame's path. But in their daring, the lives that intersected knew no greater loyalty, defying the language of shadows that dared chase them. Sam led, break time three, pushing through the pain and the dire clench of fate as they rushed to keep ahead, desperation gifted wings by firelight.
Lori, beside him, hit stride, their pace, a codex of survival and fledgling trust. There was no surrender, break time, only indefatigable will driving every breath. Heartbeats fused, joined by the unmistakable hum of hope amid the violence. It was the final page turned blank before knowledge inked its dissonance. As they weaved through barriers, born not of heart, but of forgotten chance, they ran. Reaching the safety of an old slough, they paused, break time, working through breaths that grew deeper with assurance.
Lori clutched the incriminating file they'd scavenged, and Sam, grounding them with a nod, resolved that the final act wouldn't be theirs alone. They'd uncovered key intel, but the way ahead remained riddled with traps, suspicion painted across every step that whispered of a world gone cold and worse. The truth would demand its due. They must emerge surviving.
Lori looked at the figures retreating to shadows behind them, a reminder of the war unspoken.
Ready to crack this Pandora's box? Sam shook his head, steeling himself further.
Write our own damn story this time. The truth can see itself out. And so they moved, knowing only steps remained to draw the curtain on enemies closer than any friend dared stand.
They had more miles yet to tread, but had come too far to face what lay in opposition. Not when light had found its flickers, scant embers giving courage found as fire among forest soil. With every conscious thought returned, Sam felt once more the light-footed sense that hope had never left him,
only grown silent to shout beneath weighty moments, and in the distance beyond asked one last amen of this life we wreathe in earnest fire.
The torchlight flickered against the old barn walls as Sam surveyed the scene with Lori and their ragtag group of allies. Adrenaline crackled between them, an invisible current binding strangers turned compatriots by necessity.
That damned file they'd unearthed offered glimpses of truth crueler than fiction. "We can't stay here," Lori murmured, gripping the evidence tightly. "They'll find us before the next breath."
Sam nodded, eyes scanning the huddled faces. Wendy, an artist who'd stumbled into this nightmare after recognizing Sam at a cafe, clutched a brush like it might fend off the world. Mikhail hovered near, a flash of righteous anger masking his fear. Each was here for reasons Sam hadn't had time to fully uncover, a disastrous irony given the situation. "We keep moving," Sam said, pitching his voice low, firm. "We need a plan, and fast." His heart was a metronome pounding the seconds away, a bullet with patience. Lori leaned in, his voice barely above a whisper. "What's the next move?
We've got to know who's selling us out before they cut us down."
"The mole's in deep," Sam replied. "High up enough to know I'm a loose thread. But we've got something they don't want out there." He gestured to the device now lying between them, a Pandora's box of sorts. "Someone's playing both sides. It's time we smoke them."
"Out." Mikhail frowned, his eagerness battling anxiety.
"But how? We're cornered."
"The bait is the file," Sam stated. "But first, we'll need confirmation. That means heading to one of the known compromised points. Turn the tables on these turncoats."
Silence stretched among them, each considering the implications. Wendy broke the quiet, a slight tremor in her voice.
"You mean letting them come to us?"
"Exactly," Sam replied. "We use the comms they're bugging to leak a location. We're outnumbered, so we don't fight, we infiltrate. Find out who's behind this and who's pulling the strings." Lori broke in, practical as ever.
"And the rest of us? We're not exactly spies, Sam."
"No one's asking you to be," Sam assured. "Just get us close. I'll do the rest." They hashed out their plan in whispered tones, sketching the thin framework of a stratagem bold enough to make legends of fools. Time was a luxury they didn't have, rushing forth like a train without brakes. In the pre-dawn light, they moved as shadows stretched long under a washed-out sky. Terrain shifted beneath their feet, a battlefield of uncertainty and cold earth. They'd chosen an old Soviet radar station on the outskirts, reduced now to an ossuary of rust and crumpled dreams.
Sam knew the irony wasn't lost. Betrayal among spies laid waste promises every day.
Their makeshift plan gently set in motion. They watched the world sharpen to points as the moments danced away like thistle on the wind. Sam left Lori and Wendy at the perimeter, stationed near an extra station to draw enemy attention. As Sam edged toward the facility's gutted innards, Mikhail at his side, the chill sank in.
"Baptism by fire," Mikhail muttered, a grin twitching nervously at his lips.
"Either it brook no delay, or we break," Sam replied. "No room for doubts once we're in." They slipped into the unloved shell of modern history like wraiths, hearts pounding out Morse code beneath threadbare ribs. Lori's distraction soon came, a false explosion echoing as enemy eyes turned quicksilver toward a ghost.
Dash, it was small, a handful of men made large by their means, leaving the real mole tucked further behind.
Sam and Mikhail breached the shadowed line, frenetic steps weaving through rusted corridors in pursuit of truth veiled clear as
smog.
Sam's instincts flared, lilting colors of caution flaring in narrow bands. There was no second chance under this devil's sky. Footsteps pressed near, each echo a rolling reminder they ran toward their fraying chances. On either side, devils waited with final benedictions ripe and ready. But skimming through the age-pocked walls, a figure appeared at last, marking their fate and kindling revelations still submerged. Sam drew nearer. "Mikhail, hold back," he said, eyeing the lone figure hunched over a console. Mikhail nodded, slipping into the shadows for insurance should trouble kick down the door. Sam approached cautiously, though the other's back was turned, absorbed in some unknown search. "Why here?" Sam asked, letting his voice open the conversation. The figure turned slowly, no sign of surprise. Sam's breath caught. "Break." It was Barrett, a lifeline in prior exploits, a face he'd hoped wouldn't wear the traitor's cloak. "What are you doing, Sam?" Barrett asked, voice calm but edged with tension. "You're overreaching." "Am I?" "You have an interesting way of fulfilling your duty," Sam replied dryly. "Does duty mean blind obedience?" Barrett countered, a trace of weary bitterness marking each word. "You think they'd ask questions if you were gone?" Sam didn't answer. In that moment, silence rang with all the shoulds and coulds given weight or shed unused. "I'm not the enemy," Barrett said quietly. "The agency's eating itself alive." "I don't know who to trust anymore," Sam admitted. "But this isn't where the bloodbath ends." "It never does," Barrett murmured, resignation shaded across his features. "You got me. But listen, it's deep, far worse than you or I ever suspected. Names aren't enough. You need something damaging or they'll come and crush this operation." It was a detente of grief suspended in amber, a chance to restructure alliances. "How bad?" "Enough to burn fields you couldn't even see," Barrett whispered. "They've got assets everywhere, some even in your cozy circle of friends." Angry shadows flitted across Sam's resolution. He turned, withdrawing toward safety, even as questions piled against his mind. Friend or foe, Barrett's twilight allegiance painted with colors ever uncertain. They'd need more time, more truth stocked. Regardless of where this night might lead. Mikhail reappeared at his side as they moved quickly to regroup. "Get what we came for?" "Something," Sam replied, voice rife with implication. "But answers come next." Among the gathering dawn and broken steel, they retraced steps, footfalls crunching through oily dirt, their future dictated now by the final hour they had writ. Free or fallen, they stepped back into the open, knowledge held close against a heart marred by its own memories. Lori and Wendy waited, faces carved with tension and resolve. "Planted seeds," Sam said, scanning the terrain but feeling the echo of uncertainty in his already strained soul. "Now we harvest their intentions." "What about Barrett?" Lori asked, eyes intent. "We watch," Sam said. "And wait." But waiting could spell ruin. They had to act quickly, no longer hunted rats in the game's dire limits. The storm exhaled its brisk breath, invoked by fate to test them each, and hands joined without ceremony, they moved onward. A motley crew who'd find within shattered worlds their metal, proof enough it might yet survive any descent. The maze had led them here, to this crossroad of ambition, and the true colors scratched through by sanctified decay. At its center stood a man among shadows, memory's penance paid faithfully, and in that instant, still running, Sam Rivers dared believe what twilight has spoken, where others dare not speak of truth. That choice itself bears the final weight untouched by all our understanding. Part 6. Mist rose from the fields as morning crept over the battered radar station. The building cast a sharp, broken line across the frost. Inside, Sam wrapped his fingers around a chipped thermos, fighting to close the tremor in his hands. Lori passed him a clean shirt, eyes tracking every distant sound. Their ragtag circle, Lori, Mikhail, Wendy, gathered in the gutted control room, the strange camaraderie of hunted animals stoking a wordless determination. Mikhail pressed a battered laptop between his knees, decrypting the last gigabytes from their stolen files. Each of them wore fatigue differently. Mikhail's tension clung like sweat, Wendy's eyes flashed defiance. Lori kept still, every movement pared to necessity. In the corner, Sam replayed last night's encounter with Barrett. Nothing about it settled right. The resignation, the warning buried beneath every word. Who was Barrett protecting? Himself, the agency, or something worse? A radio fizzed, drawing all eyes. Static, then. Confirmation required. Activity at primary juncture. The voice was mechanical, accent stretched thin. Russian, maybe. Sam's nerves bristled. They didn't have long. Lori moved closer, his voice low. We should go, Sam, before it tightens any further. Sam checked for movement through the shattered window. They're not circling, he said at last, voice stripped of pretense. They're waiting for us to make a mistake. Wendy's hands trembled as she packed up her sketchbook. That mole you chased, Barrett, do you trust him? Trust is a currency I can't afford, Sam answered. He hesitated, then added, but I believe his fear. Mikhail shut the laptop, frustration bruising his features. There's one name that keeps surfacing, he said. Parsons. He outranks your friend, ties to every breach. He's got clearance above half the agency. Sam digested it, his mind leaping ahead to the implications. Parsons handles European desk. If the leaks go that high, the agency's not the only thing on the line. The clock above the rusted door ticked, a dull metronome. Wordless understanding passed between them. This was the last reprieve before the world closed its jaws. Sam glanced at the folder, the weight of decisions still to come pressing into his ribs. He thumbed through the final pages, a chain of transfers, coded payments routed through Estonian bank shells and Moscow front companies. Each step marked someone's loyalty on a ledger. Names surfaced and sank until Parsons' signature. I need to confront him, Sam said, voice steady in a way that surprised even himself. Face to face. No more running, not if any of us want out of this alive or whole. Lori lifted his chin, jaw set. Where? Sam closed his eyes, searching the map in his head. He runs operations from a safe house in Pärnu. If he's covering his tracks, that's where he'll go to ground. Mikhail started to protest, then seemed to catch himself. You're sure you want to walk into the lion's mouth? I'm done waiting for the door to kick in. Sam pulled his jacket tight. We're choosing the ground this time. Wendy's voice broke the tension. If this gets us home, I'm in. A plan took shape in the silence. They would approach at dawn, break time 0.4, slip through the fishing docks on the edge of Lel Lang EE Pärnu, circle the safe house from different angles. Lori would stand by with their car, engine running. Mikhail would watch the perimeter. Wendy, armed with only her sketchbook and a pair of old wire cutters, agreed to stay out of direct fire. Sam strapped on a sidearm, tucking it beneath his shirt, and led them out. The fields glowed silver in the pale light. At the edge of the property, they paused. Lori caught Sam's sleeve. Whatever happens in there, don't do anything you can't walk away from. Sam managed a thin ghost of a smile. They made it to Lang XML Pärnu by midday, the coastal air colder, slicing through the bright sun. Fishing boats thudded at the docks. Seagulls circled like hungry doubts. They split up in the shadow of the warehouse district, each taking their post. The safe house sat half-sunk behind peeling metal gates. Sam waited until Parsons appeared beside a trash bin, phone pressed to his ear. The man was stocky, features dulled by bureaucratic indifference, but his gaze swept every window in a rhythm trained by years of suspicion. Sam moved, feet light, coat pulled up against the wind. He slipped through a side alley, catching Parsons as he ended his call. For a moment they watched each other in the curtain of noon. Rivers, Parsons said, his tone neutral, almost bored. I know about the Moscow accounts, Sam said, voice quiet but unwavering. It's not just me they're after. You're selling out the entire branch. Parsons barely flinched. You think you're the first to stumble onto a black ledger? Sam steadied his breath. You sent Barrett to die in my place, Parsons shrugged. Barrett chose his failures. You chose to run. Behind Sam, a truck rolled by, masking the growing tension. Why sell out to the Russians now? Sam asked, taking a careful step closer. What's left for you to gain? Parsons' eyes narrowed. You haven't spent decades slaving for an agency that writes you off whenever it suits them. His hands stayed open, empty, as if offering honesty was all he had left. Everyone burns out, Rivers. You'll learn that before the end. A gunshot cracked. Sam flinched sideways as the pavement spat chips at his feet. Wendy's shout cut across the lot. Go! Get out! Parsons ducked beside the dumpster, a pistol drawn. You brought friends? He cocked his head, almost mocking. Always sentimental. Mikhail appeared at the corner, returning fire with measured restraint. Wendy zigzagged toward cover, eyes wild. Sam pressed himself low, movement a blur. He hauled himself behind a trash bin, heart pounding in his ears, trying to calculate angles and timing. Across the alley, Lori's car idled, horn beeping once, his signal. Time was collapsing in on itself, and the plan, any plan, blurred. Parsons yelled over the clamor. Let's be reasonable, Rivers. You leave the file, walk away, let the agency clean its own house. Sam shouted back. What happens to my friends, Parsons? Or do you need more bodies for your ledger? Parsons's grin flickered. In the space between shots, it was almost weary. You know how this works. There are always more bodies. Sam rose, gun in hand, and edged along the wall. You'll answer for it. If not to them, then to the ones already gone. Parsons fired, missing by inches. Sirens wound in the distance. Someone had called the police. Sam looked to Lori, who signaled twice, ready. Wendy and Mikhail moved in tandem now, covering Sam's retreat with sharp, deliberate urgency. Parsons, seeing the escape tightening, cursed under his breath and scanned for an alternate route. In that instant, Sam stepped out, catching Parsons off guard and forcing a brief standoff. Sunlight etched every line of Parsons's face, the calculation in his eyes flickering between fight and flight. Why not end it, Parsons? Sam called. You're cornered. There's no going back. Parsons considered gun low, shoulders sagging under invisible weights. Because it's never about winning, just surviving until the next round. He tossed his weapon aside and raised his hands. Police cars screeched into view moments later. Sam dropped his own weapon, backing away with arms raised. Mikhail and Wendy melted into the crowd, unnoticed. Lori peeled off, car vanishing into the maze of streets. The police swept in, guns raised, fanned out across the alley. Voices barked commands in Estonian. Parsons didn't resist as he was cuffed and led away, face impassive. His gaze lingered on Sam, faint disgust giving way to something unnameable, a brittle gratitude, or maybe just relief. Two plainclothes agents arrived, badges flicked as quickly as their questions. Their tone was terse, threading accusation through every inquiry. Sam offered evidence in clipped sentences, sliding the file across, careful not to reveal the full depth of what they'd uncovered. The agents watched him, trying to gauge his angle, but Sam kept his face neutral, each answer calibrated. By dusk, they let him go. He made his way to the pier, calling Lori from a burner phone. The others joined, carrying nothing but exhaustion and relief, shining through the mask of vigilance. Lori pressed an envelope into Sam's hand. New documents, train tickets north. You'll want distance, he said, voice softening. They'll need someone to sweep up, Mikhail said. But I'm done hiding. Wendy's laughter was thin but real. Next time we're meeting for coffee, no codes. No guns. Sam nodded, fitting their faces into memory. You kept each other alive. That's more than most can say. They stood together as the sun slipped behind warehouses, painting the coastline gold and gray. No fanfare, no promised safety, just the battered dignity of those who'd survived the night and refused to be written off. Sam paused, gaze fixed on the endless water. His old life had burned away, every tie sifted by fire and betrayal, but in its ashes he found something new, a bond made not of secrecy, but of battered trust. As he boarded the train, the city receded. Talon's spires faded behind fog. Sam allowed himself a last look, the past no longer a weight, but a lesson etched deep. The road ahead would have its own shadows, but for now he carried only what he chose, the company of loyal friends and the certainty that, at least once, he'd chosen right. Somewhere, in a window's reflection, a city waited to heal, and in the drift of rail and horizon, Sam Rivers vanished into the unfixed future, no longer a ghost, but a man moving forward. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.